Let's talk science now and the potential of stem cells to address humanity's ailments and weaknesses apparently knows no bounds. But what about growing a brain in a petri dish? According to neurobiologists at the University of California, with the right mix of nutrients and a little bit of coaxing, human stem cells derived from skin can spontaneously assemble into brain-like chunks of tissue. It's a horrible vision. Our regular science commentator Chris Smith is on leave. To tell us more about this scientific breakthrough, we're joined by Wendy Zukerman this morning. She's a science journalist with Catalyst. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to breakfast. Tell us about mini brains in petri dishes. Sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Well, the researchers themselves, who are from Vienna, are calling it an organoid, because mini brain...
An organoid?
An organoid, a cerebral organoid. So what it is, it's a pea-sized clump of brain cells, and these brain cells seem to act remarkably like the real thing. The neurons are talking to each other electrically, they're moving and migrating in the same way that the early fetal brain would move and grow towards. But I should say that this brain has been cooking in the lab for around 10 months and it's the size of a pea and it's not going to get any bigger.
So they haven't made a brain and they can't make a brain.
That's right. To make a brain, we're going to need several different cell types. Right now, we've just coaxed these stem cells to become brain cells. But if you want to make a whole brain, we're going to need some blood vessels in there just to really give it the nutrients to grow.
Is the value of this, though, for those who are hoping for breakthroughs from stem cell science for addressing issues that are about damage to the brain?
That's exactly right.
Some of those neurological diseases.
That's right. It's not as sexy as developing a new brain in a lab, but what the real breakthrough
is. It's not as frightening as developing a new brain in a lab.
Well, depends on your perspective. But I think you're onto something. What the main bulk of this research is for is to create a really accurate model of the human brain that then researchers can use to uncover the reasons for brain development disorders. So at the moment, we use animals, rodents are the common model of choice, and it's really not a good analogy for the human brain. And that's why...
Oh, okay, so it's more about to use as research rather than trying to develop skin cells and stem cells from skin to actually repair a brain.
That's right. This is for that fundamental research. So, for example, already the researchers have used the technique to create a model for microcephaly, which is a brain disorder where the brain doesn't grow enough. And so you have this very reduced, very small brain. And already they've created a model for that. And using this pea-sized clump of microcephaly-like brain, they've been able to uncover some reasons for why the brain doesn't develop properly in that disorder. So already we're starting to see some exciting results from this sort of organoid.
Wendy, the periodic table, Healy, Bieber, Caniff, Nina, McGow, Sips, Clark, Calcium, I remember that from school, but now there's a possible new addition to it, which might throw all that out, a super heavy addition. Tell us about, is it Unpentium?
Unpentium, it's an unofficial title, which is really just a mishmash of Latin and Greek, Unpentium. The number is 115. That has been created by some Swedish researchers. So if anyone with periodic tables surrounding, decorating perhaps their shower curtains, they might need an update. Now, before...
Who has periodic tables on the shower curtains? Look, people like you, I think.
I'm not going to judge. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't need an update just yet. Before an element gets to grace the periodic table, it must be approved by an international committee. And it's yet to do that. But there's some real hope by the periodic table community that finally this element will make it. Now, back in 2003, some Russian researchers created this element as well. But you need to see it a few times before it really can make it onto the table.
What's so special about this element?
Well, it's a super heavy element. And what that means is it has a whole bunch of protons in its belly. So the proton is what gives it the number. So 115 means it has 115 protons within its nucleus. Now, the more protons you have in an element, the more unstable it is. And that's because protons are all positive and you get a whole bunch of positive elements together and they start repelling each other. It's like a bunch of toddlers. They're all trying to get away from each other and they rip that element apart. So when we say we've created this element, it's very unstable and it lasts way less than a second. But it's still very exciting for the researchers at hand.
Okay, and it still might get that place on the periodic table. Some sad news in the science world and beyond, really. This week, John Mainstone, custodian of the pitch drop experiment in Queensland, the longest-running experiment in the world, 52 years. John died last Friday. And he never saw the pitch drop.
Now, the experiment itself has actually been running for about 8 decades, but John has been custodian of it for 52 years. And what this experiment is some research. Thomas Parnell, actually, it was one fellow. Well, he wasn't even researching. He was just trying to demonstrate to his class how cool science could be. And so he got some pitch, which is a derivative of tar, sort of funneled it into a funnel and let it sit for three years, and then he cut the stem of this tar. And what he was trying to show the students is that although this pitch is so, it looks so solid that if you smash it with a hammer, it will break like glass, it's actually a viscous material, and it can seep through a funnel just like honey can.
And it has a fluidity to it.
Exactly, exactly. And what he was doing was showing the students that it will drop from that funnel, but it drops so slowly that in 80 decades, it has dropped 8 times. And it hit the headlines earlier this year because its custodian, John Mainstone, said, "We're ready for the drop. It's going to happen this year." And it's really remarkable, the story, because no one has actually seen a drop. And I spoke to John earlier this year, and he was the loveliest, loveliest man. And he has been following this. He's been looking at this tar ready to drop for the last 50 years.
And he never saw it drop.
He never saw it. When he thought it was so pregnant that it was ready to birth, he would be watching it and think, "Oh, I've got to go get a soft drink." That happened once. Went to get a soft drink, came back.
And it dropped.
Another time he had to go to a conference, so they set up this camera. They said, "Digital camera, right, new technology, we're going to see the drop." Went off to the conference, it dropped overnight. The camera went defunct.
Oh, no. That's a terrible story.
So he never saw the drop.
And I won't even ask why we need to see it drop, what that proves, but all we need to know is John worked on it for so long and it did work, but he never got to saw it. But we should pay tribute to him nevertheless. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us on Science.
Thanks for having me.
Wendy Zuckerman, ABC science journalist from Catalyst, filling in for Chris Smith this week, bringing you all the science news here on Breakfast. And paying tribute this morning to Professor John Mainstone, who died in his sleep in hospital last Friday. He'd been working on the world's longest running lab study at the University of Queensland, the pitch drop experiment, and he died at the age of 78.